that last song, that's a sermon in itself. And if you had listened to the words, we could have gone home. However, I spend too much time. And yet, even this morning, as I looked over what I wrote once more, it just doesn't seem that that's what God wants to say, and yet I know those are the words that he gave me. And so, I just need you to pray for me. And just know that what I'm going to talk about is something that is vital to each one of us. But first, I want to start off by telling you a little something about me. And I know most of you know all about me. But you did not know about me was that I had an uncle who would frequently take me to the Bronx Zoo. Now, many of you don't know much about the Bronx Zoo unless you lived in New York. But it is acres and acres and acres and acres. You can't see the whole thing in 1 or 2 or 3 days. But I would frequently go with my uncle. And we would walk along the paths. And then he would stop. And he'd say, Maureen, come here. I want to show you something. And he'd come up to a tree. And he'd look at this, at the tree. And he'd say, look at this bark. See how smooth it is? And then he says, look at that leaves. You see how full the tree looks. He said, do you know what kind of tree is that? And I would say, no, because I very rarely can tell one tree from another. And he would say it was an oak tree or a whatever other trees they have up there, because they have so many of them. But he could name every single tree in the forest. And a lot of it looked like the forest in the zoo. And he could tell when one was not doing so well and one was doing great. And that so amazed me that he could name them and he could do all that. And so as I thought of that, because I loved the zoo and I went to the zoo a lot as a young kid, a lot as an adult, and a lot until we moved out here. And so I was thinking a lot about that. And I realized that scripture talks about a tree. It talks a lot about trees. And that we can recognize them if we look closely enough. So I'm going to read a scripture and then I'm going to pray. Okay, because this is our scripture. And it's in Luke 6. Okay, it says, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of what is stored up in his heart. And the evil man, and I could insert women too, you know, this is not just for you guys, but it's for all of us. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil that is stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. The King James Version, or the New King James, out of the abundance of the heart. The heart, the mouth speaks. So what's inside comes out. Let's pray. Father, as I feel unsettled, I know these are your words, and I know these are the words that you gave to me. So I just ask, Lord, for grace, for wisdom, and for your Holy Spirit to work not only in my heart and in my life, but move around this congregation today. Move in people's hearts so that we can see just a little bit more of what it means to actually really live in the kingdom of God. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. But you know what? I thought we'd have some fun. First, can anybody tell me what kind of tree this is? It's a green tree. No, the leaves are green. If you really got up close, you'd see that the bark was brown. Can anybody tell? I'll give you a hint. It does very good for shade. A shade tree, yeah. No, it's not maple. Maples have a little bit of reddish in it. I'll give you a hint. It's an elm tree. And a lot of streets, elm. They walk, a lot of people, you know, a lot of streets back east especially have a lot of elm trees. Let me have the next one. Do you know what kind of tree this is? Good thinking, very good. When my kids were small, we lived in a place that had an oak grove, and the kids loved to go walking in the oak grove. It was beautiful. Next one. No, it's not an evergreen. It's not a pine at all. It looks weird. It's not in the Christmas tree field at all. Actually, if you look at the trunk, might give you a little better. It's a redwood tree. Yeah. Look at the trunk. Yes, it is. Yeah. And it doesn't have any others around. It's very hard to find one by itself. It's a redwood tree. And it's sometimes, unless you know the tree, like you knew the oak tree, it's hard to figure, because to me, a lot of them all look alike. Right? I had a maple tree in my backyard back in on Long Island, and I knew that one because it had, and when my kids were real small, where we lived in Queens, we had a ginkgo tree. And I almost put up a ginkgo tree, but most people don't know ginkgo trees at all, except for, do you know ginkgo trees? They have all kinds of, yeah, really nice. Ours were green until it got fall time. Right, what's a ginkgo? Okay, so trees that, you see, there are some trees that have beautiful, leaves and trees, but that's all. They're very ornamental, I guess you might say. Let me have the next one. What's this? An apple tree. Very good. The next one? Orange. And the last one? Pear tree, yes. Okay, now why were you able to see, to tell me those so easily? By their fruit. Very good. By their fruit. You knew the tree by the fruit it bared. Going back to our scripture, a good tree bears good fruit. We'll talk about what that good fruit is in a little while. There's a old Jewish, well, the word, first of all, the word scripture, in scripture, the word fruit means your works. I'll go on to say I don't think that's totally what it just means. But we'll go on now. There's a Jewish saying that says a man's works are the tongue of his heart and tells honestly whether he is inwardly corrupt or pure. I thought that a man's words are from the tongue, are the language of his tongue, are the tongues of his heart. Okay? Think about that. His words are the tongues. For out of the overflow of his heart, the mouth speaks. A good tree bears good fruit, and the good fruit is a holy life. Now, if you listen, if you know anything about Aristotle, Aristotle said a habit is the product of constantly doing the right thing. That's what Aristotle, and it sounds good, you know. They tell you 30 days, it creates a habit. However, scripture, Jesus kind of contradicted that a little bit. Of course, he says, only good fruit trees bear good fruit. Now, it's true that there are people who don't know Christ that do good things. Right? I know plenty of people who want nothing to do with Christ, and yet they're do a lot of good things. They are called good people. However, as if you were here earlier for Hope Hills with Isaac, you know, God doesn't look on the outward like we do. He looks at the inward, at the heart. What are the motives that people give? And surprisingly, I have found a lot of people who give to various organizations, you know, people who have money and want to get it out, give it out for deductions for their taxes. What we do, hopefully, is we give because we want to give, because that's how God gave to us, so we give to others. Jesus taught us, and it's interesting because before we started earlier, I was talking inside, they're going to start a whole series on the Ten Commandments. And I said, well, you know, when I was teaching the kids at one time, they would say, there's so many ten, I can't remember the ten. And I said, well, you know what? You don't have to remember ten. You only have to remember two. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and you will love your neighbor as yourself. If you do that, we are keeping those commandments. Now this is where it gets a little sticky. The root of our trees, and before I go on, we're all trees in God's kingdom, okay? Depending on how the root is, will depend on how the fruit is. If you don't take care of, on a regular fruit tree, if you don't take care of the root, and you don't prune it sometimes, your fruit is not going to be very good. I always tell you the story about us back in Long Island. My husband and I are not growers at all. Everything we touch dies, and we decided my brother-in-law was very good at growing all kinds of vegetables, so he would keep his seeds from his tomato and give it to us. And so we built up, because we lived by the water, we built up the sand and everything, the dirt, so that it would be good dirt. And we put the tomatoes in, and you know what? They grew. These were what call back East beefsteak tomatoes, which grow like this. My tomatoes were like cherry tomatoes. It wasn't the right type of soil. It wasn't a very good root. We didn't take very good care of it. We watered it every once in a while, but, you know, and so, you know, it didn't come out. We didn't do what we needed to do to make that fruit really grow, the vegetables really grow. And I think what Jesus is saying here, if we love God with all our heart and our soul, and in another scripture it says, and your strength, and our neighbor as ourselves, our root will be strong and rich. The interesting thing about a redwood tree, and I took the redwood tree for a purpose, because a while back I did a study on it, and their roots are very shallow. But there are always other redwood trees around, and their roots intertwine with each other, and each one helps the other stand and be strong. And I thought, what a beautiful picture of what the community of believers is supposed to be. Because so many times, our root, even though we love Jesus, may not be as firm as it should be. But we have the roots of the others who are sometimes younger and sometimes more seasoned, but they're all intertwined, so it helps us be strong and bear the fruit that we're supposed to bear. And why I feel so uncomfortable in doing this is because I can't grow anything. I can't. If I put flowers out in a vase, by the next day they're dead. I have a black thumb, it's called. Well, I try that, yeah. It's more fun doing that, I'm telling you. But, so what I want to say, though, is our actions and our words, what we look like every day, really determines what type of fruit we're going to have, what kind of fruit we're going to produce. And, you know, there's an old saying, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool people, all the people, all of the time. And we can come in here with our church faces on and, you know, praise the Lord, you know, but if it's not really in our hearts and it's just words that we're saying, when we go outside and people see us every day, they're going to say, he talks about being a Christian, but he's certainly not acting like one. So what we do and what we say matters a lot. And some of the things about bearing fruit and the things that we have to do to keep our fruit growing, I like to call kingdom norms, the normal things that people who live in the kingdom would do every day. And there are blessings with being in the kingdom. And the scripture tells us, if we have good fruit, he says, Christian, he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Jeremiah says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads its root out by the river. He will never cease from yielding fruit. That's New King James, just for you, James. So if we bear the fruit that we're supposed to bear, okay, and we're going to talk about that in 2 seconds, these are promises. These are promises. I will bear fruit in the season that it's supposed to be. But whatever I do will prosper. It will not go by the wayside. And I will never cease from yielding the fruit. That's why they say there's no retirement in Christianity, because we are always yielding fruit. We never stop yielding. Kingdom living is not easy, as many of us more seasoned people can attest to you guys. And I'm sure even now you think sometimes your life is pretty difficult. There are certain things that we can do that can help us keep our fruit. And the first thing is looking inside you. Introspection. Where is your heart at? What type of fruit are you producing? I was talking with Kathy the other day and she said something and I got all excited. I said, that's your fruit! You know, that's, you know, the things that come out of a heart that is totally in love with God. And I know that she goes, and it's difficult. It's difficult to be honest with yourself. because, like we talked this morning, there's a lot of rationalization that goes on that we can justify the way we feel. But that's not what Scripture tells us. Love. God, first love your neighbor. Then all these things will happen. So you have to periodically, if not, I know when I go into bed at night, the first thing I do is I look at the day. Lord, what have I done today that might have offended you, offended somebody else? What have I done that have glorified? And after doing this, how was my fruit today? And I really felt like bringing a whole bunch of fruit, but I didn't, I'm sorry. Okay. And I say first that we have to examine our hearts because Jesus, Scripture warns us in James, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like the man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at it, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who intently looks into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, he will be blessed in what he does. So there's a choice here of two people that we can be. We can be that person that looks good. Okay. What was I like? Or we could be that person that looks at the law. God says I should love the Lord, love him with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and my neighbors. So I am going to go out, and I am going to put that into action. Sometimes it's difficult. You know, you got a neighbor. We're fortunate. Most of our neighbors are gone for the summertime, so we're kind of by ourselves. But, a neighbor sometimes can be not so nice. We had a friend once who he wanted to downsize and move to another area of the same area that we were in, but he wanted to make sure the neighbor were fine before he moved in. So he would go around asking people, well, how's this person and how's that person? You know, don't do that. That's not how we are to love everybody, not just the people who think just like us. And I know it's very hard on both sides of the aisle, because sometimes it's very hard for us older folks to, more seasoned, I'm sorry, we're not older, we're more seasoned, to understand and be able to connect with you younger people. And at the same time, it's sometimes very hard for you people to grab hold of something that we're saying because we're so old, they should be put out to pasture. Right? Whoa, huh? He's saying, whoa. I wanted to see if you were really listening. No. But you know what? We all have something good to say if our roots are good. If our roots aren't good, we're going to be complaining. We're going to be arguing. We're going to be judgmental. We're going to be all those things, kind of what we talked about in Hope Builds. If you missed Hope Builds, Isaac did a fabulous job. You missed something really good. If our words, and we're going to get to words, see what our heart should be producing are things like love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, goodness, self-control, otherwise known as the fruit of the Spirit. That is what we should be producing each and every day. our words. You know, when you were growing up, I don't know if you were, you know, but I know when I was growing up, it was sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never harm me. How wrong can you be? Bones were mend. Hearts wound sometimes. What we say, and not only what we say, but how we say it means a lot. Every word we say has a meaning behind it. And the things that we say and how we say it shows what is inside our heart. My poor husband, please forgive me for this. And he'll say something, say, you know what, it's not only how, what you say, it's how you say it, you know. Like I used to say, you know, you could say to your kids, go to your room and clean. Or you can say, go to your room and clean it up, please, you know. There's a difference. You're saying the same thing in a different way and enabling them to understand and not feel threatened. Our words could threaten people. Our words can hurt people. Our words can put people on the defense. And so, our words are very, very important. I want to read you something. William Penn, everybody knows who William Penn was? Okay. He was a Puritan. In fact, Pennsylvania was named after him. He actually wrote a set of rules of conversation. And I really thought they were not so bad to listen to. First one, avoid company that is not profitable or necessary. And in those cases, speak little and less. Silence is wisdom when speaking is folly and always safe. Some are so foolish as to interrupt and anticipate those that speak instead of hearing and thinking before they answer, which is uncivil as well as silly. Chuck Swindoll says, it is better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Penn goes on, bear with me. If thou thinkest twice before thou speaketh once, thou wilt speak twice the better for it. Better to say nothing than not to the purpose. To speak pertinently, consider both what is fit and when it is fit to speak. In all debates, and this, I love this, in all debates, let truth be thy aim, not victory or unjust interest, and endeavor to gain rather than to expose thy antagonist. Better to try to win, you know, to win him over than to make him more angry. I think if we took an honest look at ourselves, or had a recording during the day and recorded everything we said, and we played it back. Brittany's shaking her head. And we played it back, we would be amazed at what comes out of our mouth. James says, be slow to speak and quick to anger. A man's anger does not bring around the righteousness of God. We should think twice, speak once, is what Penn said. Listen. You know, I've learned over the years, so many people just want us to listen to them. They want us to hear their story. They may ask about my story or your story, but they want to tell us their story. And when we listen, we create something that wasn't there before. We begin, we create the beginnings of the seed of a fruit of friendship that will yield in the season that it was meant to be. So what we say, not just what we do. Remember that actions speak louder than words? Uh-uh. Our words are loud enough as they are. And nowadays, everybody seems to be even louder than normal. You know, back when I was a kid, I don't ever remember too many people yelling. You know, unless even my mom and dad never really yelled. So nowadays, everybody's yelling. Everybody's got to out-speak somebody else. You probably might get better attention if you don't yell so much. What I used to do when I used to get upset with my kids, I used to start with a fairly low voice, but I would get, and then all of a sudden I knew I hit a point where I shouldn't be yelling anymore. I would start laughing. And my kids knew as soon as I started to laugh, they were in trouble. Well, they knew for me. They knew it was time to do whatever I was asking them to do. And so even my children in church, as I taught them over the years, they would learn when Pastor Maureen was standing up, and she started laughing, they knew that they had to stop. Yeah. But what it does is helps me. It helps my root keep coming. And I don't get angry and I don't want to get them, don't want to strangle them, maybe. But by the time, the laughing just takes all that out of me and they just, okay, which is what you want. So if you ever see me laughing, because I'm a very serious person, They're laughing. I always tell my husband I'm very serious. But you're laughing an awful lot at me. Yep. Okay, I think I totally lost where I was going. Okay, but that's okay. Okay, so from what I gathered from what William Penn wrote was, how we act and what we say flows from our heart, right? So, if we are all trees in God's garden, right? There are some things that, Diane doesn't look anything like me, and I don't look anything like James. So there are a lot of us who are very different, just like there were different trees. And there's a lot of different trees. You could find pictures of lots and lots and lots of trees I never even heard of. But there are a few things that are identical in us. And that is our root. Our root is and should be grounded in Jesus Christ and his saving blood. Because if our root is good, our fruit will be good. If our relationship with our root is good, our fruit will be good. If our relationship with Christ is not so good, our fruit may not be quite what we want it to be. We used to call our tomatoes Biafran tomatoes, So, Biafra was a country in somewhere. I'm great in geography. But it was a very, very poor country, so we used to call them Abiafran tomatoes because their root was not very good. Even though the seed was good, the root wasn't good because it wasn't taken care of. It wasn't planted in the right type of soil. It wasn't watered properly. It wasn't pruned at times. So it wasn't properly taken care of. And so God takes us every once in a while and prunes us. You know, and I love what he what Pastor James said. Every time we're in a situation, or whether it's a struggle, financial or physical or whatever, and we know we're going to say hallelujah, is to bring something inside your heart that wasn't there. Like, God is really here in control. He can help me through this. You know, saying that instead of, oh, I wish this would just go away. That does no good but it raises your blood pressure. You know, and if you say that often enough, it will be all the way up. You know? And some of us can't afford to raise our blood pressure any more than what it already is. So if we were all different kinds of attributes, but our roots are identical because they've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. I know mine has. And I pray that each one of you, yours are. Because you know what? There's a security in being cleansed by Jesus and knowing my roots are good. Because I can trust him with all my heart. I don't have to conform any longer to the patterns of this world. But I can continually renew my mind that keeps my roots strong and clean. And I also can have the confidence that the Holy Spirit will never leave me. We read that and we know it up here. But sometimes when we're in especially dire situations like, God, where are you? Tapping your shoulder, here I am, I'm right here. You know? And those are a certain type of comforts or guarantees, if you want, that if you take care of that root, it's going to grow. And you're going to produce fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. You'll also produce fruit in other people's lives. Your seeds will go into somebody else that will raise up and have strong, productive trees. And them, in turn, will do that to somebody else. And so our words, our actions are so, so important to who we are. And that's why I always say, when you're in a group of people, they should know who you are. They should know that you're different from them, that you can be kind when everybody else isn't. You can be gentle when nobody else is. You can be loving when nobody else is. You can have self-control when nobody else is having self-control. You can be different. And that's what producing fruit is all about. So that they will know you them by the fruit they bear. And another scripture says, they will know that you are my disciple if you love one another. So loving and fruit are the keys that people are going to say, what's different about you? What makes you different? And that's what you guys should be experiencing in college. Because in college, not everybody is who they say they are. Also true in high school. It's also true in business. It's also true in the world. People aren't always say who thing you know who they are aren't who they say they are, but you look at what they say You look at their actions, and do they meld? Do they go into one? That's the test. And I don't know about you, but I want to bear fruit, and fruit that will last. That's why I have so much fun investing my life. I did into the kids, and right now investing my life into Isaac a bit. I'm training him up for Hope Hills. But you know what? If we don't have a purpose, if we don't have somebody to invest our lives into, what are you doing? Fruit will just be for one season. Where's your fruit? What type of fruit are you bearing? And each one of us, in one form or another, are bearing fruit, whether it's good fruit or bad fruit. And we all help each other. And believe it or not, Isaac helps me a lot. He doesn't realize it, but he helps me a lot because he keeps me sharp. And I want to try to keep him sharp. And Dr. Ann helps me, because she makes me feel better so that I can do the things that I want to do. James always challenges me. You know, everybody does something here because we're all one. We're all one. Right? My roots are entwined in your roots. And if your roots aren't going to be good, my roots are going to suffer. But I'm not going to say, why aren't your roots better so mine could be better? I'm going to say, what can I do to help you get your roots where they are? So my question as I leave now, because I've been talking much too long, is, how is your heart today, and what type of fruit are you bearing? And if you know the answer to that question, praise God, say hallelujah. But if you're not sure, ask the Lord to show you what you need to do to make it strong. And for you to know, because you need to know that your roots are strong. You need to know that. Thank you for listening to me. No. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you today for your grace. I thank you that you know our trees, you know our branches, you know our fruit, you know our roots, you know the very bark of our tree. And we just ask, Lord, that you help us keep it strong and firm so that we can be that tree that is planted by streams of water, that yields its fruit in season, whose leaves do not wither, and whatever we do will prosper. We stand on your word today. We stand on your promises, and we know that you do not disappoint. For we ask it in Jesus' name.